We're going to read God's Word this morning from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Many of us were somewhat familiar with the 10th chapter of Romans when we labored for some years under another system of belief and doctrine. And we knew Romans chapter 10 as part of a little plan that we would use, whether it was going from door to door or shopping malls or wherever. And we knew that if you would get people to repeat after you certain verses and say certain things in a prayer, then these people were supposed to be converted. Well, after a 20th century practically of such beliefs, we see what it's done to the professing church. That simply knowing these few key verses, we can ignore the rest of what God says. As in the professing church today, the commands that God has given and the judgments that he pronounces against sin, those sins can be condoned from the pulpit. May God have mercy on the pulpits in America and bring lost preachers to know the truth of the saving gospel of Christ and the power of the Word of God. May he have mercy. I know, because I was a lost preacher behind a pulpit for some years before the Lord saved me. So, we're reading Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. You see, the apostle's passion, his desire for the salvation of his own countrymen. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. And what is God's righteousness? It is God's way of saving sinners, whether it was Abraham or Enoch or Joseph in the Old Testament or people in the New Testament in this day. God's way of saving sinners is his righteousness. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Let's repeat that one again. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things, those commandments of the law, shall live by them. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the fifth verse. And we see quite a contrast there between the fifth verse and the fourth verse and the third verse. Quite a contrast with the fifth verse. We've had what is being said about Christ and righteousness and salvation by him. Or will you hear simply the words that God gave to Moses in the Old Testament in regard to the law? Well, let us hear today. May the Lord open our hearts to hear. We're taking that fifth verse as our text for today. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. The most popular book in early America besides the Bible was Pilgrim's Progress. You may remember that John Bunyan's Pilgrim, having made it out of the Slough of Despond, next met Mr. Worldly Wiseman. Mr. Worldly Wiseman addresses the pilgrim. How now, good fellow? Where are you going with that great burden on your back? Well, I'm going to yonder wicket gate. Oh, my friend, the way you are going is full of dangers and darkness. There are also lions and dragons, difficulties and death. Hear me now. I am older than you. In yon village is a gentleman named Legality. He has skill to help men off with their burdens. There are houses in that village for rent, and the food is also cheap and good. Sir, which way is it to his house? Oh, you see yonder high hill. Go by that hill, and the first house that you come to is Mr. Legality's. As the pilgrim drew nigh to the high hill, he saw that it was hanging over the road, and it was likely to fall on him and crush him. And even worse, flashes of fire were shooting out of the top of the mountain, so that the pilgrim was likely to be burned to death. The pilgrim had listened to very bad advice. And the flesh gives that much advice, even as the world does, that if you go to Mr. Legality's, you can have your burden of sin lifted by the law. No, it is the law that pronounces that burden of sin and makes that burden seem greater and greater. Well, Paul, the apostle, had been declaring the true gospel. The only way of eternal salvation is Christ in verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But it seems that Christ is not enough for everybody, not even for most people. Most people want to try it for themselves and work it out some way, somehow save themselves by their own good efforts. So this morning, consider with me here in verse 5, first, that Christ's righteousness has just been stated most clearly. Secondly, now Moses describes legal righteousness. The man that doeth those things in the commandments shall live by them. And then thirdly, but no one can be saved in the way that Moses describes. So I say, first of all, that Christ's righteousness has just been stated so clearly in verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law. Not, of course, meaning that he destroyed the law. Not at all. Otherwise, it's okay to do whatever you would like. There is no regulation at all if there is no law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. So Christ is the end of the law, meaning that he is the fulfillment, he is the goal of the law, he is the accomplishment of the law, and the perfection of the law, as we saw last week. For righteousness, he's the end of the law for righteousness, because he provides free righteousness. Not a righteousness that you work for in order to obtain. He has won this righteousness, which he imputes freely to sinners. By his own perfect law-keeping life, he has earned this righteousness. Not only by his law-keeping life, but by his death and resurrection, he is now able to bestow this righteousness freely upon those who will what? You see it there in verse 4? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It is that simple. It is that true that we believe on him. On everyone that believeth. Simply by relying on him, believing on him, resting on his work, trusting in him, you receive the gift of righteousness and eternal life. Now you note the contrast. In the second place, But that free salvation is not good enough for most people. Therefore, verse 5, most people want to try Moses' route. Moses describeth the righteousness of that man which doeth those things of the law shall live by them. Moses describes this way. Now, this is the conclusion that one of my dear uncles made many years ago. I thank God for what I heard when I was a young preacher right across the road. I heard the purity and the truth of the gospel. Well, I was called on to do my uncle's funeral. I had done his wife's funeral, my dear aunt. She was the first person that ever introduced me to Pilgrim's Progress. She had taught at Danville. She had taught at West Morgan for probably 30 years. And she taught us in public school. In our senior year in British literature, she went through Pilgrim's Progress step by step. And it was amazing. But her husband didn't get that understanding. His background was totally different. He had been brought up under the system of works righteousness. And he started attending after his wife died and he remarried. He attended across the road there. And the last service he was in, he went down at the altar call. And as he was kneeling there and different people were kneeling and praying, he got up. And he said to one of the deacons, "I've got to do more." Those were literally his words. What's the meaning of that? I've got to try harder. I've got to do better. I've got to be more faithful. If I'm going to ever be saved, I've got to work harder. I did not know that. I mean, I had no assurance of my uncle's salvation. And after I'd preached the funeral, they were burying him, and one of the deacons came up to me, a man that I've known for many years, and he told me what my uncle had said. And it grieved me that he said that, that here is where I'm resting. I got to do more. I got to do more. This is exactly the opposite of what Paul had just been preaching in verse 4. That Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's not that I've got to do more. It is that Christ has done enough. He has paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay some of it, and I've got to pay the rest. Praise His name. Well, why did Paul put this verse? Verse 5 from Moses' writing from Leviticus 18:5 is the next verse. Because some people don't want Christ's free righteousness. They want to manufacture their own righteousness. Well, Moses tells them how hard it is. If you're going to live by the law, then you're going to have to do all of those things that are written in the law. Not just some of them. But you have to keep every one of them perfectly. You can't just be a hearer of the word. You've got to be a doer, a perfectly, absolutely perfect doer of the word if you would be saved by your law keeping. God demands 100% obedience to His law, nothing less. If people would be saved that way, they've got to love the Lord with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength. Not just today, but every day, and their neighbor as themselves, every day, every night, every moment. You see how hard it is? None of us have done that. And none of us could do it, no matter how hard we tried. So thank God. James says in chapter 2 of his letter, verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all." We got a set of glasses at Kroger many years ago. special holiday glasses, and we use them once a year. And we broke one last year. Messed up the whole set. You don't have a whole set anymore. It ruined it. Okay. And you I don't know where on the planet you would find one, okay, to make that set back up. Now, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. It's all broken by the fact that we have broken even one commandment. Do you still think you can do this? No! You can't, and I can't, and no other mere human being can. Only Jesus could. And he did it for me and for you. Because for us individually, it was a total impossibility. It still is a total impossibility. The law was not given that men and women and young people might save themselves thereby, but that we would be condemned by that law. Do you realize what Paul says in Romans 4 and verse 15? The law worketh wrath. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was never meant to save. It was given to bring our sins home to our hearts with conviction so that we would see our need. The law's purpose is to convict and to terrify and the heart of the lost sinner. You ever been terrified? I praise God for the terrifying power of the law of God in my life many years, even as a little child. What is the purpose of that terror and conviction of the law? So that the sinner will run to Jesus Christ for free righteousness and free salvation. Because the tendency of fallen human nature is always to turn to works for justification. That is man's natural thinking. I can do this. What do you do when you fall into sin? Now think about this very honestly. When you fall into sin, do you feel like you're lost again? That you never truly were saved? Then you're not looking to Christ for justification. You were still thinking of justification in the terms of the law, the terms of works. Now, let me ask you very honestly to answer this in your heart. Are you in any way relying on anything that you have ever done, that you have ever thought, that you have ever said, or anything that you have ever experienced for your acceptance with God? If you are relying on anything that you have ever thought, said, done, or experienced for your acceptance with God, that is works righteousness. It takes people to hell and not to heaven. Now, the final thought today is no one can be saved the way that Moses describes. The apostle uses this as a contrast to throw light on Christ as the only way of salvation. Some people will be as bold to make statements today from pulpits that those who do their best, those who are out to improve the world, people who are trying to lead a straight and moral life, these are the people that are right with God. But no mere human being has ever done enough to merit eternal salvation. Only Christ lived the absolutely perfect, holy life, and no one else did. No one else can. Some people even dare to think, I'm a Christian because of the good life that I live. And there's the one that has sent so many people into the darkness of outer perdition. Here it is. I am a Christian because of the good life that I live. No, not at all. It's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that I've thought. It is only by having Christ, by being in Christ, trusting His righteousness alone, that anyone's saved. Now, Bunyan's Poor Pilgrim was in danger of being consumed by the fire and that fiery law that was shooting forth from Mount Sinai. And Mr. Legality couldn't help him at all. Mr. Legality might help him to somehow rationalize and feel good about himself some way, but he had to get out of there. Where did he go? He fled back to the wicket gate, and he went through there, and he made it up to the cross on that hill, just up and ascending. He came under the shadow of the cross work of Jesus Christ, and the burden of sin on his back rolled away. It fell off, and it rolled down into the empty tomb. And I tell you that it is the cross work of Jesus Christ. It is the blood and righteousness of Christ alone that removes the awful burden, the guilt, and the condemnation of our sin. Now, Mr. Legality would only have encouraged him to do the best that he could and trust in that. That's all that can be expected. We'll just lower the bar. But no, God has not lowered the bar. He has given us the full righteousness of God in the great work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him and in Him alone. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the word which Thou didst give to Moses, and even the hopelessness that it brought even to many in the Old Testament when they realized that their doing, their efforts at the moral law, their following the ceremonial law, none of these were enough, that they needed the Redeemer. Oh God, we thank Thee for redemption by the most precious blood. And Lord, we pray for all those who hear, even those seated in this house, that not one of us would have any trust for eternity in the lives that we live, but rather in the life that we did not live, in the death that we did not die, which was all done in our behalf by the God-man Himself. Lord, write Thy word in emblazoned letters upon our hearts, the Lord our righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.